Monday at 7:30, Grace.
Monday, 7:30. I get to spend time with Eric time.
It's the running mullet. It's not Eric time.
That too. That I get to spend time with you.
I want to talk to you about an idea I have.
Oh.
It's either, we'll talk after the show, but I can say it live on the show. It's either business cards or idiot bucks. I'm going to leave it at that.
Ooh.
Like running mullet bucks, but we'll talk about it on the side.
I like it.
I think I'm on to something. Anyway, just thought of it before the show. I'm on top of my game right now.
I love ideas, and you made me think of another idea that we talked about before, and we should do it.
We're good at ideas. We're not very good at executing, are we?
No, we're not.
Sorry. Grace, I got some. You're gonna learn some things real quick here.
Oh boy.
Some words.
Okay.
Do you know what a meldrop is?
No.
MELDROP.
Okay.
It's the drop of mucus that hangs from someone's nose.
Ew, I don't want to know that.
A meldrop.
Okay, good deal.
Do you know what a futz is? FUTZ? You're going to like this one.
No, I don't.
It's someone that wastes your time.
Okay. Don't,
leave it there. Leave it be.
Yeah.
All right, best one yet. Then we'll get going on this silly show. You ready?
Yeah.
Do you know what a hoe cake is? Come on.
No.
Gosh, you want to know, though, don't you?
No.
It's just a Southern-style cornbread. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
That was my stuff for tonight. No okay. Jokey jokes. No, nothing funny.
It was good. We all learned something new.
Yeah. What you got there? Some coffee, eh?
I do have a little bit of coffee.
All right. We got a good show. So I say we stop chit-chatting and get on with it. What do you say?
Oh, I love that idea because I love this episode. I'm so excited.
All right. Pay attention to me first.
Okay.
Grace, our guest tonight just ran 240 miles, and I'm sure he had a ton of issues during that he had to fix. Let's talk about all of them on episode 86.
Pew!
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
I don't know how it's physically possible that we're creeping up on the 2-year mark. It doesn't even make sense to me.
No, doesn't make any sense.
No, 2 years of goodness.
Yes.
How is Grace doing on this fine Monday night?
Oh, I'm feeling good. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm sore from this stupid Call of the Wilds race yesterday.
Yeah, you did some running. You got back into a race. You did a 25K.
So here's the thing. And this is a running podcast, and we try to give them good information. I have some really good information. If you plan on doing a mountain trail race with a lot of elevation gain, it's in your best interest to at least train on mountain trails a little bit before you do that said race.
Good call.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's
solid advice.
I did not follow advice, and I think I regret it today.
Yeah.
I felt really good on the flats, Grace, but the ups and the downs, not so much. So
it's been a while, but you got a fifth overall, yeah?
Yep, fifth overall. In the 25K, Kenny Young, who we just had on, Mr. 25K.
Yes.
Took the W. He's insane with these 25Ks. In the 25 first female in the 25K was Mira Menard. And I have to note throw this out there. She is 51 years old and she still crushes these things. It's insane. Gosh. So congratulations to Kenny and Mira in the 50K, which is double the distance and almost double the gain. I think it was like 8,000 something of gain for the 50K. Tammy Rakow was the first female, beating out Marisa. And Reagan McCoy, who was expected, got a sub-5-hour finish and with the win. Sub-5-hour on that on the Call of the Wilds 50K course is just nutsos.
Ah, that's insane. And lots of people just had a really good day. Saw a lot of friendly faces out there. Some people, you know, who've been out there plenty. Some people who are kind of returning or new to the trails. I saw, you know, a lot of idiots. April was out there. Misty was out there. Our DFL was Tess Barnes, and she helped her friend Amy Jacobs to the finish for the 25K. So that was very cool to see. And Amy crushed it. She hit all of her cutoffs and still got the finish. So that was great to hear.
Yeah, we couldn't ask for a better fall day to be out in the north central woods of Pennsylvania for sure.
Absolutely.
John Schaefer and Craig Fleming both put on that race. They kind of shared duties. Schaefer took over the 50K a couple years back, and they both do a phenomenal job.
Yeah. Oh, and a couple other former guests were on there. Jen Brazzi, who just had her baby a few months ago. She did the 50K with Jess Eager, who we just had on the show.
Yeah. There's a lot of running mullet people on that are at these races. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Good day. Good day. But tonight we are talking about a, let's see, what's 50, what's 240 divided by 30?
I don't know.
That's maybe seven eight? Times that. He, Mr. Don Nisley ran seven times that, right? So, no, that's 21. Six. I'm good at math, Grace. Just give me a minute. Six, no, seven.
What are eight. We dividing?
It's eight. Divided by 30. Whatever. He did 8 Call of the Wilds. Yeah. At Moab 240. That's a great introduction. Now we have on Mr. Don Nisley. I'm going to bring him on. He has been a Idiot Runner supporter since the beginning. He has all the colored hats, I believe. He likes what's your favorite color, Don? You
always orange.
Orange, yeah. So yeah, he has all the orange stuff.
Yeah.
But he just completed Moab 240, which was his first dive into the 100 plus distance, right?
Mm-hmm. 200s. I did over a 110 in the spring.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So first dive into the 200 pool.
Yeah.
So as you can see on his sweatshirt, he finished it. He's been home over the weekend. Oh, Don, how was it?
Brutal.
Don, do you know what day it is?
No. if people from work weren't calling, I would not know it was Monday. It still feels like it should be Sunday last week already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you understand, does your brain understand that you completed the Moab 240?
Oh, yeah, that for sure. I was pretty with it the whole race, actually. So
yeah. But you've accepted like such a feat of accomplishment. Like,
oh no, that's different. I have not accepted that I actually did it. Like, it sort of feels fake. Like,
yeah,
how did I get here?
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, how did you get here? So start from the beginning. Cause you like, was it, I know that you did like Georgia Death Race earlier this year and you hit up some other timed races and things like that. Were those races intentional leading up to this?
Oh, for sure. I did the Georgia Death Race mainly because I wanted to do that sort of alone, but I ended up being with a friend who basically tour guided me through the Georgia Death Race, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then 15 days later, I did the new race, the Cherry Spring 110 on purpose because it was going to have sleep stations and all that. And I thought, what a great way to be tired from GDR, practice sleep stations. Which I never did, but that's a different story. So all of that was preparing me for the other end of the season into Moab.
Okay. And maybe we're jumping ahead a little bit. Like, what got into your head to begin with to say, like, that's the race that I want to do. I'm signing up for it. Like, how long has this been in your head?
Well, way back when I was out of shape, kind of the same MO here is that I happened to be walking on the treadmill and Kerry Ward was showing this race called Moab 240 on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure why, but it was the first 200 that I saw. And I was like, well, if I ever get in shape enough, I'd like to do that race. I don't think I really particularly understood that it was the desert, which is the opposite of what I like. Yes. And I did just see like a little bit of desert and a lot of mountain stuff. So I thought, you know, initially like, hey, this is pretty cool. It's a little desert, a lot of mountain. I think I'd enjoy that. So.
Okay. So it started on a treadmill. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This training. Is another reason why we should all stay away from treadmills.
Oh, for sure.
Delusions. So, okay. So that's where the idea came from. And now kind of take us through what you did to get ready for it.
So last year I actually went out and volunteered. Okay. And my thought was like, if it is desert, I want to kind of feel what that's like. I literally got off the plane. So I landed in Moab and you get off the plane and you start walking across the outdoors. As soon as they opened the door and I stepped out, I immediately got on the phone and called my wife and said, I'm coming right home. It's too hot. I'm going to die out here. I mean, it was like 100 and some degrees. You go from air conditioned cabin to 100 and something degrees. Yeah. This mountain kid was not ready for that.
Yeah.
But fortunately, my wife is smarter. So she's like, hey, you're there. You've been traveling. Sleep it off. Sleep the night. Mm-hmm. Next morning, I woke up pretty refreshed. And I was like, yeah, this isn't so bad. That first lunch, I realized I was very dehydrated because I didn't feel myself sweating. It just evaporates pretty quickly in weather like that. And so I learned a pretty good lesson right off the bat to make sure I was hydrated, especially for this coming race. Mm-hmm. And I got sort of spoiled because that Wednesday it had rained while I was volunteering and the temperature dropped to like 70 degrees until Monday. It started getting hot again. And I thought, oh, this isn't so bad. Like I can manage this weather. I was deceived pretty badly, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. So you're saying they had it easier last year with the temperatures?
To start for, I think so. Initially, yeah. Because, I mean, the temperatures were low. It did warm up a little bit during the day, but not, I don't think it felt as hot as this year.
And so that's really smart. I mean, I think if you're able to volunteer at the race, especially a big one that you'd like to do, something like, you know, anybody who's looking at Eastern States or even the first 50K, you know, I think it's really smart if you can get out to the course, something big like Moab, like if you can volunteer there, that's super smart. You can learn so much.
Well, so, especially watching the leaders come in, like you learn from them, like, okay, what did they do? And then those last people, like you go from the leaders to the last people. Okay. So how did they make it in? Because you're going to be somewhere in there, right? Like, that was pretty wild to watch the different packs they had, the different shoes they had. I mean, you just take note of it, all of it, and that was very helpful.
So what were a couple of things, even just one thing that you learned from that experience that you wouldn't have done it had you not been out there?
Oh, the hydration. I think that was the biggest key. Like, I had some foot problems. That was 100% my fault running. I didn't prepare enough for that initially. I had stuff along, but I didn't prepare enough for that initial. I thought, you know, that first 60 miles, like you're running the same pair of shoes and socks. Like there's like, you have a guy out there in the first 2 miles saying, make sure you change your shoe socks every aid station. Don't not do that. I was 3 aid stations in before I changed my socks. And that was a big mistake. I didn't prepare that well.
And that was because of the sand? Is that
the big sand difference? There's this dust, Eric, like moon dust he had mentioned. That was a great analogy of what it was so powdery.
Yeah, like gators don't keep it out.
It does nothing.
Just, it's in you. You can only. I mean, you breathe it in a little bit. At least that's what it was like in Tahoe, and it's deep, and it, so it's over the getting in your ankles, and it turns your. It's like sandpaper against your feet.
Yeah, I mean that was the one. You know, if you don't take a little time to prep for these things, like I was like, what's better? Is it lube? Or is there a powder you can use? And most of the people that I was watching or had a little conversation with is to use that Tom's powder. And once I started getting that process down, I didn't have another blister. It was awesome.
Nice.
It just was, everything was real early, real fast, because I didn't use enough powder to start. And one of the medics said, you know, don't just put it in your sock, put it on your foot, then put it in your sock. The powder. And once I started doing that, it was wonderful. I didn't have any other issues.
Wow, that's great.
Now, a race like this, majority of the runners tend to have crew. There are some runners that do these solo. They prefer to do them solo. I think it's amazing to physically and mentally do it solo. But a lot of what you're talking about, dealing with your feet, you had a crew, and you didn't have just a crew. You had a phenomenal. Grace knows who you had. I know who you had. A lot of everybody that the three of us knows who was out there with you. And I think most people are probably pretty jealous that you managed to form this dream team, you know, of a crew. So tell us who you had on your crew. Sure.
So you know, I think your crew comes to you sometimes because they're the people you're supposed to be with. Like, obviously I've asked some people and they weren't able to come. And then I ended up asking Sam, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to do it, but as long as Rhoda can come along. And my heart actually dropped, because like, I know who Rhoda is. She's a tough cat. Like, I got nervous because I'm like, how am I supposed to compete?
How do I perform around Rhoda?
Right. Even Sam, like, you know, Sam and Rhoda, and you're like, man, these are two crazy women that are amazing.
Phenomenal.
Like, my anxiety was up because, like, I didn't want to let either of them down. Mm-hmm. You know, something bad happens. You can't help that, but I didn't really want to let them down. So, like,
no.
The minute I knew that Rhoda and Sam were on the team, it was like, oh, my heart was.
And they came to pace, and it's like, you don't want to lose that opportunity to be paced by either one of them.
Oh gosh.
No. So like, you gotta like make sure that you're still in it the whole time. Like,
oh yeah.
You're not missing that opportunity.
Yeah. And you know, they're two different people. Sam is very fun, very talkative, very engaging, which is fun, right? Like, you get that and you're like, oh, this is great. The other part with Rhoda was it was business. And I love when we were together, because not that she doesn't talk and we didn't have a conversation, but it was like, dude, this is business. Let's get it done. And I love that. Like, at those moments when I needed the business to happen, she was at the right place to do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, it's beautiful. This is fun, but don't forget, we're here to finish.
Yeah. We're here to get this done.
Yeah.
And then I had my best friend Brett along, and he was the middle section. Unfortunately, he got the all road section. There was no elevation, maybe 100 feet of elevation. It was so flat and miserable. But yeah.
How many miles with no elevation?
I think it was pretty spot on, like 28, 20. Almost all of them were 30 miles. Sam had the most in the beginning. I think it was like 48. And then she had the end, which was another 30 something. Miles, because there was some chatter for her about something possibly happening, and I thought, well, if that's the case, let's give bookend Sam. She had the most, give her the most rest, and then hopefully she would be there on the end.
Gotcha.
Nice. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, huge. I mean, I want to give a shout out to your crew, just because that's such a cool thing that they did. They're amazing.
Yeah. It was very fortunate, and I couldn't It's one of those moments when, you know, you're out with Sam. I think we probably had the most emotional time together, because I think that early part was a lot of back and forth in my internal battle. Yeah. And some of that came out. And even now, like, just going back and thinking about it, like, that emotion builds up again. And you're like, man, Sam was perfect there, because she was able to help me get through some of that mentally. And, you know, it was, you could cry like at this moment, because that's like, how emotional it was, and how glad I was that Sam was there for that.
When you have these crew that help you, whether you're a crew for somebody else or they're helping you, those couple days together, it's amazing. Like, the bonds that are formed, it's literally forever. And from, at least for me, when I've done some longer stuff and, you know, went somewhere to do it, the memories are that much stronger too. Like, they're very vivid in my head. I'm sure that certain things from that race are going to be very vivid in your head for many, many years. But you can't find that everywhere, you know?
No.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things that, like there is something about being able, you know, doing a race solo and everything, and that is one type of experience. But to go crew somebody, to go pace somebody for 30 miles, like, it's a gift. It's such a gift that you're giving to somebody. And to receive that gift is beautiful, and to give that gift is beautiful. And I think, like, if you ever get that opportunity to pace somebody, you know, you might have to give up one of your own races to go do it, but it's just such a beautiful thing. So anybody out there who's thinking about it, if you haven't done it before, you get to give somebody that gift, and you come out of it thinking about the sport, I think, very differently. So somewhere along
the way, I heard, I don't even know where I heard this, but I'm sure it was true. You were pretty much, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were trying to talk your crew into, you were thinking about wanting to quit. Yes.
Oh yeah. Like, the Sam picked up Sam, and then the next aid station, I was done.
What mile are we talking about? What mileage?
Just shy of 100 miles.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It really came down to a toenail. The toenail had come loose, and I didn't know at the time, so it kept stabbing. Like, every time I step, like, that loose nail would wiggle on that open nerves.
Right.
And dude, I was done. Like, there's no way I could go with that pain. No matter how much I tried. I messaged my wife and I said, "Hey, I'm done. That's it. Like, I can't take this pain." And again, she's smarter, so she says to message Sam and said, "Hey, let Don sleep, give him some time to sleep, and then reevaluate when he wakes up." And so we did that. I woke up, and when I first did this, I said to my crew, like, "We'll find a way." And I'm laying there and I'm thinking, man, this isn't finding a way. This is just giving up. Like, I didn't want to do that. So I'm like, all right, so I'll see the medic, see what they say. Well, that medic didn't take the tape off of that toe. And she's like, "Yeah, your feet look good, but I'm not touching that toe." I'm like, well, that's really dumb, but that doesn't help me. So she patches up and I'm like, all right, Sam, let's give it a go. Like, what's the worst that can happen, right? Mm-hmm. We were not even a mile away coming down a hill and it was back again. And I'm like, Sam, we got to stop. I got to look at this toe. And I take the tape off and it's just hanging by some skin. Oh. And I just, like, you know what, Sam, popped it off. Like, you know how you trick yourself on 1, 2, 3 and I pull on 2. Yeah, that's what I did. And it was bleeding like crazy and I was going to pass out. I got lightheaded. There's a cliff behind me and I could have fell backwards. And fortunately, Sam had some KT tape cut and I just put that on the toe and it was like magic. Like, I never had a problem pain like that again. It never came back. So it was all that one toe.
That's wild how one thing can kind of dominate our thoughts and our feelings, and the rest of our body even can react to it, because you can even change your gait from it.
Oh, for sure.
How's your toe now? Is it still there?
The toe is there, but the nail is over the cliff.
You guys send some, put some pictures on the Facebook group of that toe. Come on, man. That's good. That sounds like good stuff.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
I have
one. Get a nice clear one, high res, up close for me.
Sure.
You know,
they all look pretty amazing, right? Well, three of them look amazing right now. Awesome. The blisters are actually on the bottom of my feet. Those are actually on Facebook now. Yeah. But I learned from Grace, like I post it and it's like, look at your own risk and then post it in the comments. So
thank you.
I like to shove it in their face personally.
I've had to hide some threads before. Kip, I'm talking about you. Eric, I'm talking about you. Had to hide some of, like, I am not a nurse, guys. I don't see this stuff all the time.
Hey, Kip does ask a question here. Like, my reasoning for powder was because it was dry, and that helped keep the sand off of my foot. If I used lube, the comments were that would attract the sand and cause that grinding.
Yeah.
So that was the whole reason for the powder, if nice. I wasn't clear on that.
Yeah, and I think powder is more common out on the West Coast. You'd see a lot of lube here on the East Coast, but usually that's why, is because we just don't have as much sand out here.
Correct.
So after the toenail issue, that was the last time you were that down and thinking about DNFing or what?
I mean, yeah. I mean, not like that. Like, there's a lot of like, this is really stupid. What am I doing here? Like, you're in that middle of the desert and it's hot. And you're going, what am I doing out here? Like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just kind of like, well, let's just get to the next aid station. And I ran out of water like 4 or 8 miles between the desert aid stations every time.
Wow.
So there, I just couldn't get enough of it. But I was hydrated. I had like no issues with that. Like that's the one thing I almost nailed perfect, the electrolytes. Obviously I ran out of water, but once I got into the aid station, I hydrated enough and then I was good to go for the next one.
Go ahead.
So you had said before you had gone out there, you thought that it was about, you know, 90% mountains and 10% desert, right? And you're telling me it's pretty much the opposite of that?
Oh, unfortunately, it's like probably 190 miles of desert and the rest is mountains.
Wow. That's I didn't realize that. I mean, I thought some of it was desert. I probably had similar thoughts to you. Like, yeah, they throw some desert in there to be cute, but a lot of it's, you know, trees and mountains, but that's a lot.
Yeah, no, but once you got in the mountains, it was like so picturesque, like you forgot about the desert. It was so gorgeous during the day, especially Shea Mountain. We got up there to Monticello, which however you want to call it. I don't know the proper way to say that one yet. Nobody seems to know that, but once you're there and you get to that lake, it's like that portion of it is just gorgeous. Like,
yeah,
nothing around here.
Yeah. It keeps you going.
Yeah.
Marisa had asked in the chat, what was the average distance between aid stations?
Just about 30, honestly. That's not true. 15-ish, somewhere in there, like 15, 16. Longest I think was 20, a little over 20 miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tell us about that. You said you kind of nailed nutrition, you know, aside from running out of water, you were pretty close to spot on. So tell us, what did you eat? How often did you eat? How much did you eat? Did everything stay down?
And drink. What electrolytes did you use?
I used Precision electrolytes. The packet, the 1500, it's a purple. I'm sorry, Grace, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's a purple pack, 1500. I just took one in 700 in milliliters, and so two of those for between each aid station, and then a bladder of water. In one of the things I would have changed is Precision also makes a carb fuel. It's just straight carb. I would have added that to at least one bottle every time. That seemed to, when I I had that later in the race. That helped. I just felt better when I had it. As far as food goes, burger. Every aid station had a burger. I was downing a burger. If they didn't have a burger, it was eggs, hash browns, bacon, avocado wrap with bacon. Those are amazing. The one aid station was the worst. It only had these little, like, mini sausage type rolls. They gave me four. They're like, here, take four of these. That should do you. Well, that didn't do squat. I was thankful I had gels. gels along.
Now, did you have a target calorie intake or carb intake?
Not particularly. No, just I just wanted to go. If I was hungry, I would eat. If I wasn't, so most hundreds, I don't eat. Like, I'll run the whole hundred with a couple of gels, and some liquid calories, because my stomach I just feel better when I'm running that way. But knowing that this was the 200, I just ate a burger. I mean, they were big burgers too.
Yeah,
it's like you never had a burger taste so good when you're out there.
Yeah.
And plain, like, burger, no onion, no pickle, no cheese, just a plain burger and a roll.
It's like the first ketchup? Time where you have
ketchup.
Oh no, ketchup! Got to have ketchup.
Oh my gosh! I was gonna say.
Got to have some moisture.
I can do without anything, but I have to have ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup was on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about it. I don't know why those burgers transform into like this heavenly decadent meal on those longer, really long runs. But I remember the same thing.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And then the one time, like, Sam was with, and she's like, what do you want? I went, like, a burger. I want this. I want that. And we get in, and they're like, we have egg rolls. Egg rolls? Who wants egg rolls?
Like, don't be creative.
Like, that was the major downer. Yeah, that was the major downer. Like, egg roll. Who wants an egg roll? What burger?
You got to give them credit. They're probably just trying to mix it up. It's they try to be different.
Yeah.
We had pizza at the one place, if you wanted it, whatever you wanted, they'd make you a pizza. And it was only a little small pizza, but oh, that was so good.
Nice.
Some hot girl just asked the question. Rebecca Kosek just asked, would you do it again? And do you recommend it to us East Coasters?
Okay. So would I run Moab again? Heck no. Like, there are times. Like, I left the step and I went, goodbye, step. I never have to see you again.
Yeah.
Like, it's a one and done for me for Moab.
Yeah.
However, if Moab scares you, then you should do it. If you're not scared of Moab, then maybe find something else. Like, I mean, I'm a pretty good believer. Like, if it scares you, you're going to train for it. You're going to be prepared for it. You're going to do everything you can to be ready for that race. And if it doesn't give you a little bit of that anxiety and that pre-race jitters for like a month out, it's not a big enough race for you.
I mean, I heard that Bigfoot was if you're looking for views, Bigfoot is the one you want to go to out there in Tahoe. Tahoe blew me away, but Bigfoot here is just 10 times better.
I think Bigfoot is the hardest. Like, Tahoe's it's hard because it's a 200 miler, but Bigfoot would be harder. But Moab is more of a runner's race. Like, if you can run, it's very runnable, like ridiculously runnable. For a long.
What was your total elevation gain?
It's only like 30, 31, 33, something like 32,000. Yeah, it's like not a lot. Like, Bigfoot's 44, I think, or something in that nature.
Do you know what your average pace was?
Slow.
It's 240 miles. So
yeah.
Well, aid station stops and the sleeps. It's not really accurate to like.
I think this stuff is fun to talk. It's probably my pace for a 50K, so it's fine.
I mean, I was probably in the 20s, 23 miles an hour.
Wow, that's speedy.
I have a good watch, and I thought, well, hey, we're about halfway, let's charge it. When they clicked it to the charger, it stopped recording. It just shut down, and I went, Mm-hmm. I paid a lot of money for this watch. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kept running. And then at some point it stopped altogether. I mean, it was still on, still had power, but just wasn't tracking. So I lost quite a bit of mileage on my watch, just not realizing it stopped.
Yeah. Okay. I was guessing it at least in the 30 minute miles, but that's super runnable if you were below a 30 minute mile.
Yeah, you could shuffle pretty good on the flats.
Hmm. Nice.
So sleep strategy.
Go ahead.
Did you have one going into it?
Oh, for sure.
Number one, did you stick to it? Number two, and you know, how did your crew help you with that? Did they, and you know, basically trail naps versus sleeping at aid stations, what did you do?
So I did have a sleep schedule. It was 2 hours at every crew spot. The first crew spot didn't work out as well because it was first light and then the sun was coming in and I got about an hour versus 2 hours. Like my schedule was 2 hours at max, like it was 2 hours max. And I got like an hour of sleep there. So it did set me back a little bit to start. Like I think if I would have got 2 hours there, maybe things would have been a little different. But and then I think it's right after that I took my first trail nap ever. I never felt a rock that was just so comfortable. it was like a pillow soft. And man, I think it was like one Mississippi and I was asleep. I mean, it was that fast.
Yeah.
I think I only had like four trail naps and the rest were, I had a vehicle, large vehicle, I had a sleeping pad, sleeping bag, slept in there, slept on that. And that was like 2 hours, except for the last aid station. We got in there and Rhoda's like, you get an hour this time. I'm like, okay. I mean, I felt like I closed my eyes.
You have to listen to her. It's Rhoda.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So she's like, they lift. Man, it was the coldest aid station too. And they opened the door and I could feel the cold air coming in. And I was like, it cannot be an hour already. I feel like I just closed my eyes. And they're like, yep, Don, time to get up. And I'm like, all right. I could have slept for like 7 hours, I think, at that point. It was because the cold, everything was just comfortable.
Yeah. Now, did you have your spots scheduled? Like, I know I'm going to sleep here, here, and here. Or did you wait until you were tired?
No, scheduled.
Okay.
Yeah. So every time I had my crew come to an aid, like every other aid station is what they were doing. So it's like every 30 miles, I was looking to get about a 2 hour nap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's impressive that you were able to schedule it and actually go down and actually sleep.
Oh, it was pretty easy. Yeah. Once I was there, it was like, I actually look forward to getting to the crew spots because it was like, I know I'm going to get some sleep. Yeah.
That's exciting. Kip asked, was your beard gray before you started the race or is that a result of running that far?
No, this is courtesy of 4 children. So
yeah, so you're actually 25.
Yes. I just look 50, but I actually am 25.
Yeah.
So what was your actual finish time? How long did it take you?
108 hours and change.
Nice. And what did you have a goal starting out?
Yeah.
Come on, let's hear it.
I mean, ideally I wanted to be like in the 80 hours.
Oh.
Like, so, you know, you set your time, like there's a, like, if I'm feeling great, I want to be here.
Right.
Midway was like 90. Worst case scenario, I wanted to be 112. I mean, I had 116 hours and 59 and 59 like to finish, but like, I wanted to be ahead of that cutoff as much as possible. So, sure. I didn't meet the first two, but I beat the last one. So I'm not too upset about it, but I would have really liked to have done better.
Yeah. Okay. Hallucinations. Did you?
Oh, good ones. yeah. So this particular one, I saw this rock dude sitting along the trail. And then as I got past him, it turned into a lion. So it was like, well, that was like the coolest one that I saw.
Wow, that's impressive. That's really fun hallucination to have. When did they start?
At the end.
Yeah.
Really, it was right at the end, because that last section was such a drag. It wasn't. I guess the crew went back out and ran it later, the porcupine, and you could see the trail, but it wasn't there as well. So it just wasn't very, it wasn't easy to mark, wasn't very well marked. Mm. But during the daylight, it was easy to see where you're supposed to go. But at night, you're just, your eyes are tired. I'm exhausted at this point. Mm-hmm. I really just want to be done. We got to a point where there was a guy out there who was apparently going back and forth on this trail. Like, I don't know a way out. And these two girls passed us, and I don't know if they were hallucinating, but they were like, yeah, you have to go down Jacob's Ladder, and it's a real steep decline. And I'm like, man, that is not like, we went out Thursday to the last part, like a 45 minutes up, and just kind of like, hey, let's kind of see where we're supposed to come out, because when we get to that point, hopefully if it'll be daylight, but if it's dark, we'll at least have some grip of what's where we are. And I'm like, man, maybe we're on the wrong trail. We thought we were lost. And then this guy shows up, and he's like, there's no way out. I've been back and forth. I think there's another layer up top, another trail up top that we should be going on. And, you know, Sam's like, here, you sit here. I'm going to go look quick. And like, she's like, no, the trail goes this way. So we go through, and just, you know, one of those moments where you're like, I'm glad I did that the other day was, we'd gotten to a point, and I stopped, and I looked to my left, and I saw where I was sitting that Thursday. And I was like, Sam, we're gold. This is where I was sitting just on Thursday. So we're on the right trail. So I holler back to that guy. I'm like, dude, just keep coming. This is the right way. We were here Thursday. And fortunately we did that, because I don't know if I would have known where we were at that point in the race. But once we got off of there and we hit the rail trail, like once you hit the rail trail, it's 4 miles and you're gold. Like it's done, you're done. And that's what actually when I started hallucinating is when we hit the rail trail.
Wow. I've heard that tip before. I think it was Brenda Hodge who told me that. And she had said before a race, like the day before, check out the finish line, like go to the finish line, kind of, you know, at least walk up the last half mile and walk back and just get a feel for what it looks like at the end and really picture yourself finishing. So that was smart.
Yeah.
Especially something long like that. Oh my gosh.
That felt good. Yeah.
How did the finish feel?
Honestly, a little anticlimactic. I think because I left so much emotion out on the course, that by the time I got to the finish, I really just wanted to be done.
Yeah.
You know, and all of this really was, give me a second here. My mom had turned 50, and then the exact time she had passed away, and like from the time she turned 50 to the start of Moab. I turned 50, and then the start of Moab was when my mom would have passed away.
Yeah.
So this was more than just me running for this. It was living longer than my mom at that point. Wow. And just living a couple hours longer, days longer, all of that really was some of that emotion that we left out there, still a little bit here, but, you know, it's just... That's really where this came into play was, hey, I'm going to be 50. What can I do? What kind of year can I do to honor my mom? And not only that, but just like prove to myself that I could, you know, live longer.
Yeah. What do you think she would have said to you when you got across the finish?
Probably the same thing I did. This is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Yeah, I mean, I think she would have been proud, but you know, it's mom. What mom's not proud of their kid for doing something cool?
Yeah, I think she would have been proud of you. How are you different after this finish? What's different for you?
Yeah, That's a good question. I think there's a lot of time that you spend out there. And if in my life, I was just going through some things. And I think the fortunate thing about being out there was to be able to process some of that. Mm-hmm. So that was helpful. I do feel calmer. It could just be that we were out there and there's like a third of the less people, because, you know, you get off the plane here and it's like 5 million people, and trying to weave in and out, and you're like, I just want to get home. What are you doing? Like out there, like there was like no traffic whatsoever. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So like, I think coming back, I was probably more calm than I ever been. Even now, like I just feel pretty like at peace with a lot of things.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I think like when I'm out on the trail, especially when I'm working through some stuff, sometimes there's like a memory or a thought or something like that, that I'll just like I physically, it turns into like a little ball, and I'll like leave it out on the trail, and then that's where it lives. And it'll always exist in that one place. It's this physical manifestation, and it's not a real thing, but in my head, that's where like something that I'm not necessarily upset about, but just something that is, it's something's going on in my head. I'll just leave it there out on the trail. And then you come back a little bit lighter, you know?
I kind of wish I would have talked to you sooner about that, because I probably would have done that with quite a few things. And maybe I have, I just didn't really put it into
thinking
of that way. Yeah.
Right. I think like I started doing it intentionally now, but I look back and I think I've been doing it for a while. You kind of take these things and then you can visit them sometimes if you want, and they can take you back there, but it gives you a place to put those feelings. I don't know. That's my
I think the beautiful part about this is crazy long distance we're talking, but even 50Ks and ultra distance, and just, let's just say being out on the trail for a full day is like, you know, we tend to think that we process things and think about things all the way through, but most of the time we get distracted by one thing or another before we can truly get done our own personal thought process. But I've found that doing this stupid long stuff is you can think about it, you can talk in your head to yourself about it for a while, and then 5 minutes later you can come back at it from a totally different angle and think about things, you know. And I'm just talking about the spectrum of thoughts in general, but you know, the time involved to be able to do that. And then you add the fact that these crew and these people that are pacing you, they're beyond friends, they're beyond family. There's something out there that you could tell them, and you know they will never tell another soul if you want to, and and vice versa. And that's a special thing that is always going to be that bond between you and them. So, I mean, I think it all helps everybody as far as your mental health.
Yeah. There's even these positive memories that I have that I swear they live out on the trail, and I go out and visit them sometimes, and it's just a cool experience. It's something that, you know, I road run every once in a while and everything, like I do that for training, but I think it's something special about the trails in particular. Like the trails will keep your secrets for you, and they'll hold them there and hold your memories for you. And then you can visit them in a different way that the roads can't, you know?
I don't know. Yep.
Yeah. I think when I do my solo runs, that's probably very accurate. Running with friends, I don't think about much other than jabbering with them until they're sick of talking to me.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So what's next, you think?
Oh, actually, so just as a great reward for coming home, we ended up getting a puppy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like Saturday. Like we got home Friday and we had already been out to see like if we wanted this puppy. And he's literally Groot's brother, just a litter later.
Okay.
So we got it from the same place we got Groot. And so that's been pretty cool. A nice distraction from feeling brain fog and not being able to walk on my blisters. And so he's been pretty cool.
And more sleep deprivation.
No, so he's been amazing. He's, I'm knocking on wood here. He has slept through the night every night so far. So he has been amazing.
Nice. Yes. Well, that's definitely going to help with the post-race depressions and the next week or two for sure. So that was a good move.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure about that yet, but so far it's been good.
You'll be all right.
But as far as what's coming, so I've had this planned now for quite some time where I did the 240 and I'm going to do every digit down, like a 100, 100K, 50 miler, all those big tickets all the way down back to that 1 mile treadmill where I started when I was over 240 pounds.
Nice.
Like, so 9:10 is my last day. That's the 1 mile treadmill.
So. Oh, nice. That's a cool adventure to go on. I love when people kind of have these ideas in their head and that it's like you are on your path. It's truly your path. And that's cool to be able to walk that and create it on your own. Like nobody made this for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's very cool. So you have 100 miler next. Is that right?
Not, I can't do it in order. That's like impossible. So
yeah, I was gonna say that's pretty.
Yeah.
That's bold.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to have a little break here after the 240.
For sure.
But yeah, so the 100 miles is already booked. 50K has been booked. I still need the 100K. Hasn't opened up yet. And I think everything. I got the half marathon. Two races just have to open up to get the 50 miler and the marathon.
Nice.
Tell us what you're doing. What 100 miler are you doing?
You guys know what 100 miler I'm doing. The one I hate the most.
I think I know what 100K you're doing because it hasn't opened up yet.
Yeah.
You got like 30 seconds, 10 seconds to sign up.
Okay.
What about the half marathon? Which half are you doing?
Oh, I am going to do that at Labor Pains.
Oh, nice. That'll be fun.
Because it'll be after Eastern, and then I'll be able to do that. You know, I could walk that in 12 hours. So,
piece of cake.
Gosh, I hope so.
Yeah. Good crowd, too.
Oh, it's fun there, too. Like, you can't not have fun there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going to go one of these years.
I can't believe you haven't been there.
It's just, it's always on the holiday weekend, and it's a drive. Nothing. I need to be there. I know. I've heard great things.
Yeah, I've had, since I've been there running it, I think it's one of the more fun times that I've had out on trail. You see people all the time. It's so fun.
Right.
I mean, you know, unless you're trying to break the record, which you could easily do.
Yeah.
Who has it right now? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I think it's 70. I think it's 70 miles.
Jim, I know. I think on the women's side, Rhoda, last I knew. I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Jim, but I thought somebody was closer. It's not Jim. Man, I would have to look. I don't want to guess.
Yeah.
I know Jim had it, but I don't want to.
Yeah. I'm not sure who it is anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, it'll be a cool adventure for you to go on. What about this weekend? What are you doing this weekend? Playing with the puppy?
What is this weekend? I don't even know.
Probably a weekend off for you.
That still feels like, you know, yesterday. So
yeah,
nothing. It's probably nothing or work because this is my busy time. Like that's the other bad part about this race was it's literally smack dab in the worst time for me. But
yeah,
fortunately, I sent out cards to all my customers and they've been pretty understanding. So. But now they're not because I'm home and we need to get done. So
that's right. You got a lot of work to do, buddy.
Oh.
Well, thanks for coming on and telling your story.
Thanks for having me.
It's awesome that people we know are doing such amazing things.
Mm-hmm. Don, it was great to have you on. I loved crewing with you at World's End. I hope to see you out there crewing, volunteering, something like that. I can't keep up with you running, so okay. I'll have to see you on the volunteer side, but I hope to see you at another race again soon.
That's my goal. Like once this big year's done, is I'm just going to retire, be professional crew, professional pacer. So if you need me, I'm here. Just got to get through 2025.
Yeah.
And then I'm free.
Nice.
Fair enough.
Cool.
Fabulous.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Grace, what are you doing this weekend?
Let's see. I haven't really made any solid plans yet. Going out to brunch with some friends. Last weekend, I didn't tell you what I did last weekend. Lacey and I spent the weekend in Jim Thorpe, and it was so fun. If you ever get a chance to do Jim Thorpe's Fall Festival weekend, even if you're not going for running or anything like that, like just to hang out and go to the shops, it is so much fun.
Okay, Jim Thorpe Fall Festival.
Jim Thorpe. Yeah. And you can, we didn't do the train ride, but you can do the train ride, see all the pretty leaves. So I don't have any solid plans this weekend. Probably going out with the husband to do some fall peeping, some leaf peeping, because it should be about peak down here this weekend. It's either going to be this weekend or next weekend.
Yeah. And we're still looking up here, but wind's starting to knock stuff down.
Yeah. We're going to do some peeping, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. What are you doing this weekend?
I don't know. Nothing really that big. Lauren's got a district meet in Bloomsburg on Thursday, so that's a big race. But no, I don't think there's anything on the schedule for this weekend.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's good.
Kip invited me to go leaf peeping over at World's End for a run, so maybe I'll go do that.
Ooh, that's a good place to peep.
Mm-hmm. Especially with Kip.
Yes.
Yeah. Ladies love this week. Yeah. It's a whole thing. But yeah, that's about it. And then let's see. Yeah. Next weekend after that's the States in Hershey. So I'll be busy there.
Fabulous.
If we make it, let's knock on wood.
You're totally going to make it.
Yep.
It'll be good.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about?
That's it. That's all I got.
We will see everybody next Monday at 7:30 for another phenomenal show with another phenomenal person.
Mm-hmm.
And Don, thanks again. I'm going to go figure out how to get that backdrop on me so I don't have to start my dining room again.
Thanks, Don, for coming on. Eric, we'll see you next Monday. 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk about recovery next week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about recovery next week. So it's going to be a really great episode. Make sure you tune in and share with your friends and like it and share it and love it.
And we're going to have our idiot bucks and our business card ideas figured out
too. Yeah, we'll figure that all out by then.
All right. Take it out, Grace.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Bye.